A few months ago, in a message from one of the ministry, I was drawn to the book of Isaiah, and specifically how it talks about how offerings are to be once again started at the start of the millennium. And so my offertory today will briefly review this subject. I think the right place to start to look at why this is being done is in Isaiah chapter 2, and beginning in verse 2 to 3. We find that this is, as we heard in the opening prayer, to the glory and honor of God. Isaiah chapter 2, and beginning in verse 2, we read the following. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God's ways will finally take precedence. This is not something that has ever happened before in the history of man, or at least not to this extent. God's millennial temple in Jerusalem will be the focal point, the center where all nations will come to learn God's ways, to bring forth glory, worship, and honor to God. One of the ways in which they will bring forth worship is through sacrifices and offerings. In Isaiah chapter 56, beginning in verse 6 to 7, it talks about the salvation of the Gentiles, essentially everyone on earth. Isaiah 56, beginning in verse 6. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, Yet I will gather others besides those who are gathered to him. God inspired Isaiah to tell us that physical sacrifices would be used during the millennium. In part, it has to do with bringing glory to God. No more is man trying to glorify himself, his own ways, but rather new ways are being learned. Turning to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 7. Isaiah 60 and verse 7. And all the flocks of Kalkar, I'm kidding, Kedar, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. You've seen the sheep outside. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Dropping to verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. sacrifices and offerings. These things are to be brought together to help glorify God with his own creation. And in the end, everything belongs to him as the creator and the sustainer. One of the most defining characteristics of sacrifices in the Old Testament was the idea that the things being offered had to be clean. Not only that, but the priests who were responsible for administering the offerings also had to be clean. In the original laws for offerings in the Old Testament, washing rituals were often prescribed by the law of Moses to maintain ceremonial cleanliness, which was essential for worship and participation in the community. The book of Leviticus outlines specific procedures for those who considered ceremonially unclean due to various reasons, such as skin diseases or bodily discharges. The priests, particularly, were required to wash their hands and their feet before performing their duties in the tabernacle to avoid death. Even the altar upon which the offerings were offered had to be cleansed. Turning to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 19. Isaiah 66 and verse 19. We read, I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and then they shall bring all of you, all your brethren, for an offering to the Lord out of the nations. Here we go. Nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I also will take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. The concept of washing oneself thoroughly today and in the future extends beyond the physical acts and points for the need for a cleansed conscience and a heart aligned with God's righteousness. As believers, we are called to cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates our hearts, our minds, our body, and our spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This then implies a continuous process of repentance, confession, and reliance on God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit to help us to live a life of purity and of holiness. The offerings that were offered by people were not allowed to be whatever anyone just had lying around. This is how Cain treated his offering to God. And God was not pleased with what Cain was offering because it wasn't the best. It showed a lack of care and concern for what God had commanded. Today and in the future, this same cleanliness is a requirement for our offerings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, we read, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The requirement for us to be spiritually clean should be quite self-evident. And it's also going to be required in the millennium. The meanings, brethren, for the offerings in the millennium offer us today a glimpse into the great mercy of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 to 14, Paul tells us that it was Christ's blood once and for all that covers the sins of all. Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning in verse 10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The offerings in the millennium are not meant to be an atonement for sin, but rather they are memorials pointing back to Christ's sacrifice. The sacrifices will become teaching tools for the nations, who will be learning God's law. The sacrifices will serve as powerful visual reminders of sin and Christ's sacrifice. And it should also remind them of the consequences of evil, especially for those unconverted and carnally minded individuals who are learning. The process of conversion will continue to happen in the millennium and all the way through to the great white throne judgment. It will be an ongoing education. Those who are left at the return of Christ and the start of the kingdom of God, they are going to be in serious need of re-education. The lives that we live now will no longer be relevant. It will be a shock for many people. People who have been living under the sway of the God of this world for their entire lives, and they will have to learn to live differently now. New ways, new paths will have to be implemented. Turning to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4 we read, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. This is the goal, brethren, to bring an end to man's way of thinking, to start living in harmony with God's ways, to finally learn what it means to have true peace and true prosperity. When we bring our offering today, we should be doing so with this great purpose in mind. The physical offering we give is only a foreshadow of what is being pictured going into God's kingdom. These offerings that we give are a small token of our involvement as called sons and daughters of God. We know the truth, and we are able to grasp what all this means. And if we look at it properly, it's quite an honor to be able to bring our offerings before God today.